Please get your Bibles now and let's turn together to Hebrews chapter 1 this evening. Our text is going to be something of a, for lack of a better way of putting it, a springboard into a larger subject, but pretty much everything that we will be considering this evening is found within these four verses of Hebrews chapter 1, but my sermon this evening won't be specifically sticking close to these verses, but rather we'll be considering the subject of what Christ is doing now as our prophet. Let's give again tonight our careful attention to God's word as it's read here, these first four verses of Hebrews chapter 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. That is the Word of God. So far in these evening sermons that have been dealing with the way that Christ continues to serve as our Savior, the way that Christ continues to function as our mediator, even now at the right hand of the Father after His ascension. So far we've considered why we need, what is the reason why Jesus had to fill the offices of prophet, priest, and king. And just for summary and for review, Jesus had to serve as a prophet and a priest and a king because we are, because of our sin, we are ignorant, we are inconsistent, and we are in a very insecure position. In fact, to make it even more pointed than that, our sin has made us fools. Our sin has made us wretches. Our sin has made us rebels against God. And before this evening, we have also considered the fact that Jesus, having taken on 100% true humanity, that He became absolutely 100% a true man, Jesus, taking that on, taking on our flesh, becoming human, will ever remain in that body throughout all eternity, serving us as the God-man mediator. And therefore, as we've considered prior to tonight, Jesus had to, what we call, go away. He had to ascend back into heaven so that, for the very reason that His mediatorial work could spread throughout the world by the coming of the Holy Spirit. We might say that He had to become, Jesus had to become fully and really absent from us. Jesus had to become fully and really absent from us so that He could be really and spiritually present with us. And He would be spiritually and really present with us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus ascended on high, and His first action was to pour forth the Holy Spirit upon the church without measure. But the question remains, well, what is Jesus then doing now for us in heaven? How is he currently fulfilling and still functioning in the offices of prophet and priest and king for us right now? Well, in this message this evening, we're going to begin, and again, it's just going to scratch the surface, but we'll begin to consider what Christ is doing now as our prophet, with the intent that we will consider that same question in regard to his priesthood and his kingship in the next two messages. But tonight, let's begin by considering Jesus and the prophets of old. Jesus and a comparison between him and the prophets of old. Because the office of prophet, like the offices of priest and king, they are not new and unique offices in the New Testament. When we begin to hear about the prophetic office, the priestly office, the kingly office, there is a lot of prior information that pours into any study of the prophetic work of Christ. And it could be that all of this previous background, all of this Old Testament background, is what has led many to consider Jesus. And this is our first subpoint under the first main point. It's all this background that might have led many to consider Jesus as what we will call a reluctant prophet. A reluctant prophet. It is somewhat noteworthy to realize that Jesus actually never really emphasized himself as a prophet during his earthly ministry. And in fact, at times, he seems to even want to distance himself from the other prophets. You remember in Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus asks his disciples, who do people say that I am? And their answer to him was, well, basically their answer was one of the prophets, which was the wrong answer. And so he asks them, well, who do you say that I am? And that's when Peter makes the great confession. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so clearly there seems to have been some confusion on exactly this point of identifying Jesus as a prophet during his ministry. And frankly, that confusion continues on today. There are many religions that will pay lip service to Jesus, but only as a prophet. He's just a prophet, just like the rest of them. But rather than denying that he was a prophet, Jesus actually was making sure people understood just what kind of prophet he was. That is to say, the prophets of old were mere men. They were not perfect. And it was only while they were completely under the control of the Holy Spirit did they speak forth the infallible word of God. But Jesus is different than that. Jesus is not a mere man. Jesus is perfect. And at all times, every single word that he ever uttered, because he is God, was the very word of God coming out of his mouth. And therefore, there had to be some differentiation between Jesus and the rest of the prophets that had come before him. And so he never did fully identify with the prophetic office so that, for the reason that people wouldn't just lump him in with all of the others that had come before him like people do today. He had to make a differentiation between himself and those who had come before him. But Jesus absolutely did fulfill all of the aspects of being a prophet. Let me give you three brief things that prophets did that we see so clearly throughout the ministry of Jesus. Jesus clearly applied the word to his current situation. He brought the word of God to bear upon what was going on in his day, the issues of his day. That's what a prophet does. Jesus, Like all the Old Testament prophets, Jesus was passionate about matters of justice and helping the oppressed. It's a theme throughout the prophets, and Jesus was absolutely concerned about matters of justice and the oppressed. And in Jesus' ministry, he often spoke of the future. He foretold what was going to happen. These are all marks of the prophetic office, and there's more to say about the prophetic office than that. But those are three things that we clearly see in his ministry. And so he clearly was a prophet. And since Jesus is the ultimate prophet, and in his ministry, we have the most perfect prophetic ministry that all the other earlier prophets were actually pointing forward to and only a picture of. We must note also this evening that Jesus was, and this will bring us to our second subpoint, he was the final prophet. He was the final prophet. At every term, whether Jesus is speaking about his own teaching, like in the Sermon on the Mount when he says, "You have heard it said of old, but I say to you," or when he equates his own words with the very words of the Father, or when others speak about him, like in our passage here, where Jesus is contrasted with all of the other prophets that have come before him. In former days, God spoke to us by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son. All of these different ways underscore the fact that there is a finality to Jesus' prophetic ministry. In other words, what we're being told and what we get the impression of in the New Testament is that anything else, anybody else who ever comes after Jesus is now going to pale in comparison to Jesus. I mean, he is the Son of God. He's the very Word of God made flesh. How do you match that? I mean, what could you pull out that's going to be any better than that? And so there's a finality. He has come speaking like no one else had ever spoke. And so there is this constant impression given throughout the New Testament that Jesus is the final prophet. And that after him, there will be no need of the office of prophet in the sense that there was in the Old Testament. And Jesus' ending of the prophetic office is always throughout the New Testament laid upon the basis that Jesus is, and this brings us to our third subpoint here, He is more than a prophet. It's not simply that Jesus says more than previous prophets said, or that he seems to have greater insight than those before him. But rather, he is, in his person, he is more than a regular prophet. God spoke by way of these men in the past, but now in these last days, he has spoken by way of his Son, who is co-equal with him. All previous prophets were men speaking about God. Jesus is the God-man speaking about God to men. And thus, it is not just that Jesus' prophetic ministry is somehow what we might say quantitatively different than the prophets that came before. It is that it is actually qualitatively different because he is the very Son of God speaking to us. Jesus is God, and therefore when Jesus speaks, it is God speaking in person. When Jesus speaks, he does not say, "Thus saith the Lord." He says, "I, the Lord, say." Now, an analogy in how to understand this is, a king might have a very faithful herald who always accurately communicates whatever the king wants him to say. And so when the herald goes forth and speaks on behalf of the king, that herald always says exactly what he's supposed to say. And that's a good thing. But it's a whole other thing when the king himself actually shows up. And the king himself speaks in person. And that is what we have in the prophetic ministry of Jesus Christ. So there was reluctance in Jesus to be identified along with the previous prophets, not because he wasn't a prophet, but because he is more than a prophet. And being more than a prophet, he is then clearly the final prophet. He is the Son. Indeed, Jesus is our Creator, and he is our God, and he is our Redeemer, talking to us, telling us what we need and why we need it and what he is doing for us. He uniquely now speaks, because he is man, he speaks out of our experience to us as the God-man, having taken on our flesh forever, and thus he's able to speak authoritatively both as God and as man. This then brings us to consider, secondly, this evening then, Jesus and the Spirit of prophecy. And as we move into this section, we need to remember that we need a prophet because we are ignorant. Sin has blinded us and we cannot even see our own need. We don't even know that we're in dire straits, let alone can we see and understand the cure that's offered to us. And so, as our catechism says, Jesus makes known to us the will of God for our salvation. But I want us to keep thinking along the lines of and thinking in this area of ignorance as the main matter of why Christ's office and work as prophet is most necessary for us. And we need to admit, and I think we need to acknowledge as we begin to ask this question, what is he doing for us now as our prophet exalted in heaven? We need to acknowledge that we are not, at this point in our lives and in our Christian walk, we are not altogether wise yet. We are not all-knowing. We are not, this is a double negative, we are not without limitations concerning our knowledge and understanding. We are still desperately in need of knowledge from God. And thus, we still need the prophetic ministry of Jesus Christ. And thankfully, Jesus is still working in that office on our behalf. And the first action that he performed for us upon his ascension as prophet, a first action as prophet that Jesus performed for us upon his ascension was to pour out, and this is our first subpoint into this final one, was to pour out the Holy Spirit. You've got to appreciate what Peter says in Acts chapter 2, verses 32 and 33. Peter says, "This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing." This is Jesus doing this, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, and the one by whom Jesus is continuing his work as prophet. Jesus went away and then he sent the Spirit to us. Why? Why did he go away and why then did he send the Holy Spirit? Because as Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 26, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Indeed, Jesus said, and I quoted this a few weeks ago, John 16, 7 through 11, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Congregation, all of that is the continuing prophetic work of Jesus. If you are a Christian today, it is because of His sending of the Holy Spirit, which is the continuing work of Jesus, our prophet. That is to say, the Spirit would carry on the prophetic work of Jesus, enlightening the eyes of the blind, giving ears to hear to the deaf, softening hearts to receive the gospel. If you have ever understood the Bible when it is being preached, if you have ever felt the conviction of sin in your heart, if you have ever recognized that Jesus is the Savior for your sin, then you have experienced the ongoing prophetic work of Jesus Christ by way of His Spirit. And the major ongoing prophetic work of Jesus is accomplished by Him with His Spirit through our subpoint B, the written Word. The written Word. The Bible is the most tangible evidence of the continuing prophetic work of Jesus Christ that actually can be cited. Who wrote the Bible? Chosen men who were carried along by the Spirit of Jesus. Your Bible. When I say your Bible, I'm not meaning just as a printed book that might sit on your shelf. But your Bible, I'm talking about your Bible as the living and active Word of God, is the ongoing work of Jesus in His prophetic office. It is the sword of the Spirit. It is that sword that comes forth from the mouth of Christ that slays the nations. He sent His Spirit to inspire men to write about His own life, His death, and His resurrection. He sent His Spirit so that we would know something about the doctrine of salvation. We would know about His body, the church. We would know about the end of the age. Folks, each time you open your Bible to read it, or when you sit and you hear it read and preached, the Spirit comes along and gives light to your eyes, gives you ears to hear, softens your heart to receive the message, and you are being, at that moment, served by your prophet in heaven. Jesus is actively ministering His Word to you. So Jesus gave the Spirit who produced the Word. And Jesus also, as a function of His prophetic ministry, He gave the gifts of apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor teachers to His church. In other words, Jesus continues His prophetic work through, and this is our final point this evening, through the gospel ministry. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 and following, we read specifically that Jesus ascended on high and then He gave gifts to men. Verse 11 says He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. I want you to notice there all the verbiage of growing in knowledge, maturing, not being confused by the winds of doctrine, etc. These are all aspects of the prophetic ministry of Jesus. When a pastor rightly preaches the word of Christ, let me make that very clear. When a pastor rightly preaches the word of Christ, teaching us what the Spirit has said in the Bible about God, about our salvation, about grace, about judgment, about comfort, that is the ongoing prophetic ministry of Jesus Christ to you. Your prophet in heaven cares about your growth in grace. And thus, as your prophet in heaven now, he has sent forth the Spirit. And by the Spirit, he has produced the Word. And so that the Word might be proclaimed and go forth throughout the whole world, he has provided men for the ministry. So Jesus still cares about our ignorance and our need for knowledge and understanding and wisdom. Jesus still knows that you still need light. You still need guidance. You still need instruction in the faith. And therefore, he continues his work as your prophet. He continues to call you to faithfulness. He continues to call you to repentance. He continues to call you to trust in him from the right hand of God in heaven. Jesus has sent forth the Spirit. He has put his word in writing so that you can read it and you can hear it and you can heed it. And he has given you pastors and teachers who are to disciple you and to teach you to observe whatsoever he has commanded. That is some of what Jesus is doing in heaven for us now. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your Son, and we thank you for his work on our behalf. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for coming and serving us as our prophet, priest, and king. And Lord Jesus, thank you for continuing your work on our behalf as our prophet, priest, and king. Father, thank you for giving to Christ your Spirit so according to your promise, so that he might pour him out in full measure upon the church, and so that we might be under the ministry of the Holy Spirit now. Thank you, Jesus, for the Word. Thank you for the Spirit guiding men to write what you want us to know about yourself and ourselves and our salvation and the end of the age. And we thank you for the church, and we thank you for the ministry of the Word. Make us diligent to pray for those who are tasked with proclaiming and teaching whatsoever you, Christ, have commanded. Thank you that you continue to work on our behalf, seeking to pull us out of our ignorance, seeking to correct our wrong thinking, bringing us into the full stature of maturity, the full measure of growing up into our head, which is Christ, keeping us from being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Thank you, O Lord Jesus, for your ongoing prophetic ministry for us, even from the right hand of your Father. May we come to appreciate what you do for us more. We ask these things and we give thanks for them. In Christ's name, amen.